Welcome to Inside Your County Government. I'm so glad you're tuning in to get informed on local news and updates around Charles County Government. I'm Doria Fleischer, your Community Engagement Coordinator. As Halloween approaches, we wanted to make sure that you, our listeners, had a chance to hear about some of the strange, spooky, and paranormal things going around Charles County. You might remember, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, that in 2018, our lead producer, Brent Huber, sat down with Patrick and Emily Burke to discuss the ghosts of Charles County. If you missed that episode, you can certainly find it in our archives and either listen to it again or listen to it for the first time. This year, Brent sat back down with Patrick and Emily to talk about their relationship with Charles County Government's tourism department, bringing unique, exciting, and engaging opportunities to our residents and visitors to explore the paranormal right here in Charles County. Whether you're a fan of this topic or a newcomer, if you're a believer or you're a skeptic, keep listening and find out more about the return of the ghosts of Charles County.
Welcome to Inside Your County Government. I'm Brent Huber, lead producer with Charles County Government Television. And joining me today at this special podcast are two guests that you might remember if you followed us for a while from a few years ago when we talked about the ghosts of Charles County. So joining me today are Patrick and Emily Burke. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us again.
What I want to do first is I want you each to introduce yourself and then kind of tell us about what you do. And who wants to go first?
You want me to go first?
Sure, go ahead. Okay.
So, yes, my name is Emily. I am what people commonly refer to as a medium. General terminology, I use like a sensitive, but I can see, hear, talk to, you know, those that have passed on to the other side. It started with my dad, and I guess you'll hear that when he introduced himself, but I grew up seeing things and everything like that. So I've done mediumship work for quite a while. We've done investigating since I was 12 or 13. I was allowed, he's been doing it for longer, but since then I've been training in a mediumship capacity in an investigative scenario. So now I also own my own business, still doing mediumship, and we, my sister and two of our best friends, we own Sublime Soul right here in La Plata. It's a metaphysical shop and holistic wellness center.
Very cool. Very cool. Patrick?
So my name's Patrick, and I grew up since the age of two in a haunted house. I'm a sensitive. I don't like using terms psychic, medium. I just, same thing, hear, see, feel, talk, all that stuff. I'll be 65 in March, so since the age of two, I've just been dealing with the paranormal. I was in the military, and in 2000, I read an article in some magazine about Ghosts of Gettysburg. So I decided, well, if you're going to do it right, might as well go all out. So I started my investigative ventures into the paranormal on battlefields.
Wow.
And I've done places in Charles County, Colonel Cox's house, Dr. Mudd's for 15 years. Or more years, long time, and Port Tobacco. I guess now we're in the age of quantum, so the training that I do is more in the quantum physics aspect of
scientifically capturing evidence.
Yeah.
And you do that. I've seen it.
If you have.
Yeah, after our last podcast was, I was thinking about this today. It's been almost 5 years.
No.
Yeah.
I thought four. Wasn't it 2018?
17, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was after that I went to the Mud House. So I know what.
That's crazy.
And we've been on a couple investigations with you. So for those of you out there listening that might be like, I don't know about this stuff, I was there until I went out with them. And I saw and felt and experienced enough to let me know that, wow, there is something really that is beyond what we see and beyond what we know.
Cool. I love that. I love when people have that experience. I love when people come in skeptical too. Like nice skeptical, not like you're full of it and they're mean, you know, but like nice skeptical when they're like, you know, I'm not sure, but like I'm open to something.
Open-minded enough really cool. to see if there's an experience.
And in Charles County too, I was thinking this when you were listing places, like we've done numerous private residences, you know, house cleansings, land cleansings, blessings. We have had like helped with like masses on lands and stuff like that to clear the land, bless land, that kind of thing. We've done so many in Charles County as well, because like aside from just the historical residencies, like the land itself has so much history.
Yeah, and some of that history you're actually exploring now. You've gotten connected with our tourism department, mm-hmm. and you just did, and then have another one coming up soon, a investigation at Port Tobacco. You want to talk about what happened there and a little bit about how you got connected? Or
took, you know, a number of years, and then with COVID and everything going mm-hmm. on, there was delay. But Maggie finally got a hold of my better part, my bride, Jean, I guess.
Yeah, she's the manager. She's in charge.
Yeah, she's the boss.
I think they were deciding on what location, because mm-hmm. there's so much in Charles County, you know, and there were so many different routes to go, but we have a big base in La Plata through the mm-hmm. shop already, and we have just a lot of people we know, obviously, because we live around here as well. So I think Port Tobacco was a really natural choice, because the weather is still nice enough that we could walk to and from yep. different locations. We did Stag Hall. We did like outside by where there's like the little graveyard mm-hmm. where the old jailhouse would have been. And then we did the Birch House.
Right.
Yes. So we did two groups on this one, and then we split them up into two or three groups from there. And we would take people around. They would have their individual time. People got to go in the courthouse as well, but we used that as a meeting point, so we didn't investigate the courthouse.
Right.
I do think at some point it would be cool to do that.
Yeah, there's activity there.
But it's
there's
not no conducive when you're having, like, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people sitting in there.
Right. So what happened?
We're going to cut right to the cheese here. What happened? So, in the paranormal investigation, numbers kind of play a game.
Mm-hmm.
And we split them up into two groups of about 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And from the two groups, we could break them down, because we had a number of experienced investigators with them, down to five or six.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get down to that number, experience bringing out the spirits.
Trying to have individual experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there were quite a few people that had experience, not all necessarily like, somebody touched me, or I heard something, or, oh, I saw that. There were a few of those. We use equipment, too, infrared cameras.
Some people were capturing orbs on their camera.
Right, on their personal cameras. They had their own recorders. We got stuff on recorders. And then we have a meter called a K2 meter. It's an EMF meter.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it doesn't pick up man-made energy, just a natural energy.
Right.
And spirits move in that format.
There was a lot of interaction with that, because yeah. there was a lot of movement. People were feeling a lot of walking or seeing walking.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on someone's ability set as well. You'll mm-hmm. have someone be like, I saw something, or I heard something, or I felt something. It just depends on what their energy is conducive to.
Right.
Where did you feel like was the most active part?
Stack Hall was probably the most active. Mm-hmm. And then behind the courthouse and the field there towards the old Piscataway Indian Village.
Mm-hmm.
That area was active.
Where there was like the jail.
Birch was fairly active, but it was more active on the meter side, the K2 side.
I honestly, when I was in the Birch House as well, I felt more like what were relatives of surrounding people mm-hmm. than I did something more contemporary than historical. That right. was just me personally, what I was picking up, and some of the group I was with. We try really hard to engage everybody who comes with us, you know, having them ask questions and listen mm-hmm. for answers. And it's really cool to see, like, I was working with a group of younger kids, and I was like, okay, I want you to trust your instincts. I'm going to ask you a question. I know the answer to it, right? I mean, I didn't know the answer historically, but I knew I was seeing an 8-year-old boy, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how old do you think the boy is? And one of the girls immediately trusted herself. She said 8, and someone on the ghost box, like, who can't hear and can't see, doesn't know what questions are being asked, yells out 8 right after her. And she's like, all of them, there's like this group of 17-year-olds, and they all go like this, all 12 of them. And they're like, oh, Maddie, and they're like freaking out. And like, so it's cool to see people have experiences like that. Yeah. We had someone feel like they were being
pushed
a little mm-hmm. bit.
A lot of people, especially the younger group, felt the movement. The area immediately mm-hmm. got cold.
Temperature shift.
They felt that temperature shift, or they felt a breeze going through them, literally through them. Mm-hmm. They felt that too.
We were getting a lot of names, and it was really cool because the team there that was guiding us, like the docents and everyone from tourism who was there, they were incredible. And I'm telling them, right, like they're trying to tell me a little bit of the history. I'm like, please don't tell me. Yeah. Please don't tell me anything. I get, then it can't really be like corroborated in right. any kind
they,
of way.
They were historical
right.
fact checkers.
Yeah. But it was right. cool. We had people come back in and they would be like, I experienced this. And, you know, one of the guides would be like, well, actually, there was an 8-year-old boy who lived here. Or mm-hmm. actually, right. like, you know, there were slaves. So if you saw that, you know, or actually somebody in a uniform was here, or someone kept getting a reference to like hotel and they had no idea that there was a hotel there yeah, at one yeah, point.
It was a bustling little city at one
yeah, it was at one point
yeah county seat and all until right. a serious accident there's burned the courthouse. One
thing I wanted to clarify so yep. people understood, we're talking about the ghost box and not many mm-hmm. people understand what that is.
Yeah, go over that real quick.
So the ghost box, originally designed many years ago, it was a way to for theoretically those that have passed on or spirits to communicate easier with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just white noise, but in this case, it rolls through radio station frequencies really fast. So now you're picking up words.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory is that all spirits need energy to communicate. So they're going to pull it from equipment. They're going to pull it from the environment, pull it from you because we're all energy, right?
Right.
One way or another, they'll get the energy to communicate, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ghost box does that for them, right? But the problem with the ghost box is if I ask the question, let's say we're at Port Tobacco, and I'm at the area where there's a family plot, right? And I ask about Thomas Tilfer, who's buried there, mm-hmm. right? And I say, Thomas Tilfer, are you there? Everybody listening to my question, they're anticipating, well, yes, I am, right?
Right.
That kind of voice coming in, right? So they're matrixing. Right. So two of our buddies from way back, they just said, ghost box, that's crap. We're going to disprove it.
Mm-hmm.
So they started trying to disprove it, but they're like, everybody's matrixing. So if you want to hear it, you're going to hear it.
Right.
Right? Okay. So what they did is they put on headsets.
Like noise-canceling.
Noise-canceling headsets, turned the box all the way up, closed their eyes so they couldn't hear anybody talking.
Or read anyone's lips.
And that way they can't read lips. And then somebody would ask a question, right? And if the ghost box, the guy listening, started answering the questions, okay, now maybe something's going on here.
We've been in situations at Antietam. We've been on mountaintops where they're like abandoned graveyards. Like we've been in these wild situations where I'm on one side and I have a questioner and there's another side with the ghost box and there's the same questioner. And this even, I can explain an example of this at Port Tobacco, right? The questioners are asking the same questions. They have already addressed the questions. They already know what they're going to ask. That's something normally as team lead.
Right.
Like my dad will clear with them ahead of time, right? So I'm going through and I'm like, yes to this, no to this. I'm hearing this. Somebody told me this. I'm feeling drawn to this area, blah, 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 blah. We had a friend, same friend who was one of the developers of what we call the double blind ghost box method. And he matched it up and you see me standing there talking and the ghost box answering things and we're getting the same answers. So it's a proof on me mm-hmm. and it's a proof on the ghost box at the same time because we're yards and yards away from each other. We can't hear anything. We don't know. We're being asked the same question. But it's similar at Port Tobacco, right? I'm over, so we're on the tree line. You know the tree line? There was like an old jail built back there right behind mm-hmm. the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on one side of the tree line and Dave with the ghost box is on the double blind method on the other side. And I start talking about seeing someone look through, you know, peek through. And I'm saying mm-hmm. this appears to be like more Native American energy for me. And then I'm going through where I'm seeing hot spots, what type of energies I'm seeing, my dad has referred to as like overlapping or like layering of history, you know. Mm-hmm. is going on. So I might see someone that's from the 1800s and someone or something that was there way before then. Then we also started sensing like animals. So I'm saying all of this. And then I walk over to Dave and the group that he's with. And they're like, oh, he's talking about like these animals and these people peering through the bushes, looking at them. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like there it is. But that's another example where it's like we use the equipment to help prove us and us to help prove or disprove the equipment.
The equipment, yeah. And I will tell you, it was one of the ghost box incidents at the Mud House years ago that made me go, ooh, something's happening here. So, I mean, it's incredible to witness this, to see this, to experience this. It's absolutely amazing. And you have more events coming up, don't you?
We do, but let me just say this too. We're really honestly, we're really honored that tourism reached out to us. Because one thing that we do, and I've done it for years and years, and, you know, I do lectures and everything else, right? We try and honor the past and those that lived at it. And I basically, what I've always called myself a historical reporter. So I just want a little bit of your story that I can share with everybody else. And we approach that everywhere with, you know, we're very respectful. We're very interactive with the spirits, even when we're just communicating on a one-on-one level and we're not with a group, right? Hey, what happened here? What's going on? Why are you still here? You know, do you need help? Or you just want to share your story, right? So we're thankful that the tourism department reached out to us because there's a lot of history here.
But I think it's really healing for our current community to connect with their past in this way.
Yeah.
To have that experience to say, this is what was here. This is what was here before us. This is what helped build our community into what it is today. And I think that's healing in a big way because we're putting people in a
safe
environment.
Spot on.
For them to have an experience that is beyond what is their version of normalcy.
They're living history.
But they're living history.
Yeah. And it's incredible. Yeah, it really is.
It is.
And I felt some of that at the Mud House. I felt some of it, you know, hanging out with you guys in places. And it's just, you're right. It doesn't matter where you go anywhere in this region. There is a ton of history that just gets
soaked into everything.
Yeah, everywhere. It's everywhere.
It is.
So you have more events coming up, speaking
we'll be
of
back
history.
At Port Tobacco
on
October 30th. I believe we're only doing one time slot then, so it'll be a little bit more of an
intimate Halloween
setup.
It's a Halloween special.
But it's a Halloween special. I'm really excited. I felt like personally for me, outside was the most active, so I want to talk about putting some more emphasis on that and exploring a little bit more of outside. But
this time I'm going to actually bring my drum.
See how that goes.
Try and get the Native American flushed out a little
there
bit more. They came out, but it wasn't as much.
It wasn't as much. Yeah. I think the drum would help. For context, the drum was a gift from our friend who's a shaman of the Lakota. So the drum is, it's cool. But I think that there was a lot of hearing going on. A lot of people were hearing voices, hearing sounds, hearing that kind of thing, and then like seeing very quick movements, which is a really normal experience for people to have. So I want to be able to put people in this intimate setting where, like we were talking about, they can really experience this history and connect with it in that way. So we'll be back at Port Tobacco on October 30th. That's going to be our Halloween event.
And we're making it actually a smaller, it's a special, so it's a smaller group.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do Piney Point
Lighthouse the day before, on the 29th.
October 29th.
Yep. That should be interesting.
Yeah, it should be.
I'm really excited.
We'll do
that.
The lighthouse and the keeper's house.
We have quite a few groups of people who, whatever we do, they'll come.
Right.
It's so cool.
It is cool.
I love it. I'm so appreciative of them to see their faces repeatedly over and over again. But they're like, just they're so excited to do a lighthouse. This is going to be the first time we're doing a lighthouse in the area.
Cool. So if somebody wants some information about the investigation or about more information about what you do, where can they find it?
So we have our website, sublimesoulshop.com. And we're right here in La Plata, so you can come visit us anytime. We have, like I mentioned before, there are four of us that own the shop. My dad is there all the time. He is teaching classes. We are teaching classes. We offer services, and we're doing stuff with the paranormal in addition to just spiritual and health and wellness kinds of things. So everything, we have a full calendar listed at sublimesoulshop.com, and you can also get tickets for any of the upcoming events.
Awesome, awesome. Any last words?
And also, the group that we work under is called Asylum Paranormal Group, so that's what my dad and my mom run, my sister and I with them as well. So everything we do is in conjunction with them. When you go look for tickets on sublimesoulshop.com, you'll see that it's linked to Asylum Paranormal Group's Eventbrite page and everything like that. So we operate under both of those groups. We have content and events that we host together. So those are the two names that you can really look out for as we're doing things moving forward.
Awesome, awesome. And I will put those in the show notes with the links, so anybody interested can just click and follow through. So we're about to wrap this up. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to say?
Biggest thing is feel like very blessed to be able to help people connect with history. It's a way in which I love reading. I love textbooks. I love documentaries. But there's something about speaking to someone who lived it, having an experience with someone who is really there. And I know that's beyond the realm of something some people want to consider sometimes, but being open to it in some way. And at the very least, it can be spooky and fun for Halloween. And we always donate right. and support like the local organization. So you're supporting your county that way too. You're supporting small business. So you could come have fun that way anyway. But I think it's just, I'm really grateful to everyone who comes and really encouraging of anyone who's thinking like, hey, let me just check this out and see what kind of experience I could have. Because we love to help people really experience history from a new perspective.
Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you both for being here for the return of the Ghost of Charles County. Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
For more information on Charles County government, you can visit our website, www.charlescountymd.gov. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our county's e-news. You can also sign up for our text and email alerts through the Citizen Notification System, and you can always watch CCG TV on Comcast Channel 95 or Verizon Fios 10. We're also now streaming on Apple TV and Roku devices. Just search Charles County Government. You can also subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts by searching Charles County Government. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, stay safe, and stay engaged.